Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, at the start of this meeting, I would like to tell you that I love this book so much. We still have a few copies there. So if you want to get it, please make sure you do. Or when you go to the meeting down the mountain, you could also get it.
Amen.
You know, yeah, this book was introduced to me some years ago by Elton Carr. Some of you know Elton Carr, right? And so since then, I've been reading this book a few times, and I felt like this is a very good book for me to align myself with God.
Amen.
Don't you think that's wonderful?
Amen.
You know, sometimes even when we were serving, we started to serve God with ourselves. Our goal becomes just our goal, not the goal of our God. But I just praise the Lord so much that with some of these books from the ministry, we are always drawn back to God.
Amen.
Drawn back to the Lord. You know, that's a good way for us to be infused by Him so that we can grow in life, you know, for our perfect team, so that the Lord would have His need. I believe some of us, when we were here the first meeting, we talk about God's need. Actually, the first two meetings is on God's need. And last night and today will be on God's goal. You know, I was just so impressed by the fact that God's need is higher than our need. Have you ever thought about God? Have you thought about that God is actually needy? You know, we talk about, you know, giving to the needy saints. You know? But how about let's go to the needy God? You know, God needs something. And you cannot say He did not need something. Because just because He needs something, He created the heaven and the earth. And He created the earth so that He can have His new creation, His people here on earth, so that He could actually mingle Himself with us. You know, so if we are clear about this, I think we would have a pathway of life to enjoy Him, because He wants us. You know, if you want God and God doesn't want you, you are doomed. Isn't, we cannot go to the third heaven. I wonder if any one of us went to the third heaven already. Even in your thought, you probably never think about going to third heaven. But our God came down and He went through all the processes so that He can become our all.
Amen.
He wants to mingle Himself with us.
Amen.
You know, many times when I was thinking about this, you know, I just praised the Lord. You know, who are we that this very God wants to mingle with us? So it's not we giving Him a favor, it's Him giving us a favor. You know, that He wants to mingle with us. Don't you think this is wonderful?
Yes.
You know, we have some sharing in about all this, you know. In one of the fellowship I have outside of this meeting, a person was asking, you know, yesterday we are talking about failure. So what should we do? Should we strive to fail so that we can gain God? You know, I just want to make sure you all understand. You know, we are not here saying that you should fail so that God can gain you. We are saying that you should try to gain God. And despite of having failure, we should not be discouraged.
Amen.
We should still strive to gain God because He is the one that truly loves us. Yes, He would allow some failures to happen, you know, but those failures could be turned around for the benefit of God and men.
Amen.
Don't you think this is wonderful?
Amen.
You know, the enemy wants to kill the Lord on the cross. But praise the Lord went to the cross.
Amen.
That is a great suffering. But through that cross, He was able to accomplish His redemption.
Amen.
Don't you think that's wonderful?
Amen.
You know, sometimes we should just think in this positive way So when we are going through things, we would not just say, oh no, what the Lord is doing. And you get discouraged and you wonder, you know, is God still there? Many people actually think this. When they're going into trouble, is God there? Is there truly a God? Actually, the Lord allow us to go through all this so that He would be able to allow us to open ourselves entirely so that He can infuse more Himself into us. You know, we human beings, if we don't have things that happen in our life, we usually forget about God. You know, so the Lord has to, despite of how much He loves us, how much He cares for us, He allows things to happen. And hopefully, if we have the right vision, we will turn to Him and allow Him to gain more of us through all these circumstances. Okay? You know, I was tempted to share something before we go into all this. You know, when I was growing up, although I came out of a good family, but sometimes I feel there's a lot of things that is happening to my life. And then one of the missionaries in our school taught us a song, and I love that song. And that song says, "Nobody knows the troubles I've got." Have you ever sang that song? Nobody knows the troubles I've got. Nobody knows but Jesus. Amen. Don't you think that's wonderful? Yes, nobody else. You know, your friend, sometimes your parent doesn't know what's going on. You know, your sibling, they don't know. No one knows, but Jesus knows.
Amen.
Okay, so sometimes we will be up, sometimes we're down, we are almost to the ground. You know, like Bob shared yesterday, you know, we don't know why we are up, we don't know why we are down, but many times we don't know how to lift up ourselves from the ground. Only Jesus could.
Amen.
You know, so I just hope that we would really go away knowing that there is someone that cares.
Amen.
You know, we have failures, we have troubles, we have anxiety, but all this should turn us back to the Lord.
Amen.
I think all of us have anxiety. You know, and even some of the worldly people say, you know, anxiety actually turned the world around. You know that? Have you ever heard of such thing, Dan? You know, when I was working in Dallas, my manager said, anxiety makes the world go round. He said, if you're not anxious, you will not work. Okay. So if you do not work, the world will stop for you, you know, because you will think everything is fine, you know, you'll go see Brandy on a tree. You know, but anxiety, you know, that's what the worldly people is thinking, you know. You need to have some kind of anxiousness for you to be able to wake up in the morning and go to work. I have hardly seen anybody that's love to go to work. That's why they felt Monday is one of the worst days. But praise the Lord, you know. So I was thinking of reading something from the ministry regarding anxiety. Do you like to hear about that?
Yeah.
No, I hope I could find it. You know, sometimes it's difficult, especially when you're standing up here. You know, your cell phone just doesn't agree with you. So I was just so touched with this speaking of Brother Lee regarding anxiety. You know. But how come I cannot find it? Okay. All right. We are getting close. Getting very close. Let me see. I cannot even read it. It's too small. Okay. It says, where did it go? Anxiety is opposed to forbearance. Have you read this before? anxiety is opposed to forbearance. Anxiety is like a worm that devours our ability to forbear. If we have no forbearance, it will be easy for us to be upset and to lose our temper. Anger often comes out of anxiety. If I'm worried about my future, my circumstances, or my family, I will not be happy with others. This worry will cause me to be upset with everyone. Have you been upset with everyone? Sometimes it's happening. You know. Only when we are happy and contented do we have forbearance. One who is sorrowful and discontented, on the contrary, is easily irritated or offended. Because Paul was full of happiness, and contentment. With him, there was no anxiety, but an abundance of forbearance. Don't you think you want to be like this? If we would have a life free of anxiety, how many of us like to have a life free of anxiety? Can you raise your hand? Oh, we want to have a life free of anxiety. We need to realize that all our circumstances, good or bad, have been assigned to us by God.
Amen.
Has been assigned to us by God. We need to have this realization with a full assurance. Suppose a brother is in business. Maybe we'll not go through this anymore. You know, he's talking about even if you profit, your profit may not be a help. You know? When you lose money, maybe that's the time when you really turn to the Lord.
Yeah.
Isn't that true? When you have a job, you may be so busy with your job, you forget about God.
Yeah.
But if you lose your job, and you say, oh Lord, I better come to you. Isn't that true? So all these things happen to us for a reason.
Amen.
It's for the goal of God.
Amen.
Don't you think that's wonderful?
Amen.
It's for the goal of God. Okay, you know, when I was reading through chapter 7 again, I feel that the Lord has been speaking to me so many times. But as I was reviewing and praying before the Lord, I felt like maybe I would read a lot of portion of what Brother Lee shared. You know, first of all, to entice you to go buy that book. So you would read it again and again. You know, because after you listen to all this fellowship that we have during this weekend, by the time you reach the valley, you forgot all about it already. Isn't that true? That's true with me, you know. And I said that because I'm older, I forget. But even when I was younger, I remember what I should not remember and forget what I should remember. You know, I think that's usually the case. Isn't that true? You forget all the things that you need to remember. But you would never forget what your spouse said to you 20 years ago. He said, in that day you spoke this to me, I will never, never, never forget. Even in eternity, I will still remember. If your spouse ever tell this, I'm not saying my spouse did, you know. But I'm not saying that he cheated not. But praise the Lord, you know. The Lord should gain our memory for himself.
Amen.
You know, we should remember all these things, you know. So that's why, you know, when we read books, you know, like last year when we go into the Law of Revival, I don't know how many times I read that book. You know, that book is broadly speaking concerning the Song of Songs. You know, it goes up and down, up and down. Isn't that our life? And then in that book, I believe broadly share that without the ups and downs, there is no flow. Ever think about that? You know, if you have a plane, you know, there is no high mountain, no deep valley, the water will be stagnant. So it will be like a swamp. It goes nowhere and it comes from nowhere. But if you are in a mountain, in the hills, in a valley, you know, then you see the water flow. You see all the flows. So when we are going through hills and valley, we should praise the Lord.
Amen.
Because the Lord brings us into or allows such circumstances to happen to us so that we can enjoy the flowing God from the throne.
Amen.
Don't you think that's wonderful? Well, recently when I was reading this, you know, about the application of New Jerusalem interpretation for the seeking believers, it talks about the throne is there on top of the mountain. So if we want the flow, we must be below the throne. If you enthrone yourself, there is no flow. You need to allow the Lord to be enthroned so that you can receive the flow from the throne.
Amen.
You know, this is what we need these days. You know, we need so much of the Lord. We need Him as the flowing God to flow into us so that we can flow Him out to others for the building of the new Jerusalem, which is the goal of our God. You know, where He can actually mingle Himself with us. Okay, if you go to chapter 7, there are some verses there. You know, I always like to read all these verses because I remember Brother Lee said, you know, these verses are there not for decoration, you know. You know, we may think this is just for decoration, so people sort of agree that we are speaking the Bible. You know. Those verses are the burden. Okay, are the burden. You know, so for Brother Lee, you know, these are verses from Brother Lee. He chose all these verses with much consideration. So the first verse is Exodus 13, 14. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. You know, as I was praying this verse, you know, I just praised the Lord, that the Lord promised us that his presence shall go with us. So let's endeavor to allow the Lord's presence to be with us. And if we have the presence of the Lord with us, we will have rest. We will have no anxiety. Don't you think that is wonderful? You know, so if you are anxious, you know, don't try to get a red pill or blue pill or what kind of pill. You know, just go to the Lord. You know, go to the Lord, because when you touch the Lord, when you experience His presence, you will find rest.
Amen.
Don't you think this is wonderful?
Amen.
You know, we are Christian. That means we are the sons of God. Okay, there is someone that cares for us. There is someone that cares for us. Okay? If the sparrow is being cared by the Lord, you know, they don't have any anxiety. Have you ever seen sparrows having anxiety, shaking all over? What shall we do? What kind of worm shall we catch? No, because they fully believe that they have a God who cares for them.
Amen.
Today we need to care for this God in all kinds of circumstances. You know, as working saints, I think we go through a lot of circumstances, you know. You know, but as we are going through this, let's just remember, our God is with us.
Amen.
Let's enjoy His presence, and we will find rest.
Amen.
And then in 33:15, the next verse, he said, and he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. This is Moses talking to Jehovah. He said, you know, so the Lord promised to bring the Israelites to the good land. You know, because the Israelites sinned against him by worshiping the golden calf. You know, so the Lord said, okay, Moses, you just bring your people to the good land. But Moses said, no way. He said, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us from here, you know. You know, this is talking about the main burden, I believe, in chapter 7, is that we need to strive for the presence of God.
Amen.
We need to strive for the presence of God. In everything we do, we should ask ourselves, is God there? Is God in it? When we speak, we should say, is God in your speaking? When we talk to our spouse, is God in our speaking? When you go to work, is God in your work? Or when you go to your graduate school, is God in there? If you serve, is God in there? We must strive to have the presence of God.
Amen.
This is most serious and most important. Okay, and then we're going to verse 16. He said, For how then shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight? This is Moses talking. I and your people. You know, the Lord is telling Moses, take your people to the good land, you know. But Moses said, no. This is not my people. This is your people. With a capital Y, you know. It's your people, you know. Okay. It is not by your going with us. If it is not by your going with us, you know, so what is that? If your people, let me read this, the whole verse. For how then shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us that we, I and your people, are distinct from all the other people who are on the face of the earth? You know, we are Christian. We are different from people of the world. People of the world worry so much, you know. You know, they worry, they don't have money. If they have money, they are even more worried. That's why a lot of very rich people, they commit suicide. You know? Because they have too much money, they don't know what to do with it. You know, one of the person that I always remember when I was young, you know this person by the name of Kodak? You still know there's such a thing called Kodak, right? You know, they produce a lot of films. You know, one day, he took his yacht to the Mediterranean Sea and jumped, killed himself. He was so rich, but he just doesn't know what to do with it. You know, so people of the world are like that. But we are distinct from Amen. The people of the world.
Amen.
Don't ever forget that.
Amen.
We are God's people.
Amen.
Okay, and then John 5:19 says, and Jesus answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son cannot do anything from himself except he sees the Father doing. For whatever that one does, these things the Son also does in like manner. You know, this is the Lord showing us, you know, how we could be one with him, you know, just like he is one with the Father. What the Father do, he does. What the Father said, he said. You know, this is what we need to be today. You know, we are not here trying to live a Christian life on our own. We are just like the Lord. We have a Father. You know, we don't even have to try to say what we want to say or do what we want to do. Just go in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Then the Lord would actually lead you. He would lead you, you know. You know, sometimes I think even for us who love the Lord and love the church, you know, we may think that for us to do something, you know, it's good to pray, but it's also very good to go fellowship with some brothers. You know. You know, maybe through the brothers, we can have some leading from the Lord. And that is true to a certain extent, but that should be aligned with the speaking of the Lord in you.
Amen.
These two should match. You cannot just depend on the brothers telling you what to do. You know, because sometimes, you know, the brothers are not in their spirit. You know, so you don't know exactly where they are, you know. So, but if this brother truly loved the Lord, he would not really tell you what to do. He would tell you to go and talk to the Lord. Go to the deepest part of your being. Go to the Holy of Holies that is in your spirit. Then you will meet the Lord there. You meet him face to face, and he will tell you exactly what to do. You know, sometimes it takes some time, you know, because we are so used to exercising our mind, you know, so we need some prayer, some exercise, so that exercise of our spirit, so that we can turn to our spirit. But as we do that, the Lord is going to speak to us. I am telling you this not because of doctrine, but because so many of the big experiences or big decisions I have to make, I went to Brother Lee. And Brother Lee would not tell me what to do. You know, it's so frustrating. You know, don't you think sometimes it's frustrating? You go and talk to the brothers, they say, okay, go and pray. And that's what I feel. I was so frustrated, so I kept bothering him. I said, Brother, you have to tell me. You say, I'm not going to tell you. But there's one that can tell you.
Amen.
Go to the deepest part of your being.
Amen.
And see what the Lord wants. And he said, when you go to the deepest part of your being, don't consider your need. Forget about your need. Okay? Forget about any question. Just go and touch him.
Amen.
Oh, that was so helpful to me. Because I always think when we go to the Lord, we go with our desire, with our need, you know. So we go and talk to the Lord, and hopefully the Lord would agree with us. Okay? But the Lord is the Lord. You need to agree with him, not him with you. Isn't that true? But so many times we enthrone ourselves. We make ourselves the Lord. Lord, do this for us. This is for your economy. Do it. And then the Lord said, I know what I want to do. You better be quiet. I think that's true, right? I think many of us actually experience such a thing, you know. All right. Let's go before we end this meeting. John 14:10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak from myself, but the Father who abides in me does his works. You know, so this verse is a conclusion of this scriptural reading here, telling us, you know, what the Lord wants us to do is to be just like the triune God. The Lord is in the Father. The Father is in the Lord. And we who are in the Lord is in the Father. You know, we have this incorporation of persons. Okay? This is what the Lord is after. You know, when we talk about his goal is to mingle with us so that we can become the new Jerusalem as the final destiny of all of us for his expression, for his testimony on earth and in the whole universe forever and ever. It is talking about how we need to be incorporated into the triune God. You know, this is his goal. You know, I'm just praise the Lord so much. You know, when Brother Lee spoke about this, it was in 1957, if I remember, this book was spoken in Chinese in 1957. You know, in 1957, those years is quite difficult for Brother Lee. Okay. I think earlier, if I remember correctly, you know, Jolie can tell me, T. Austin Spark went to Taiwan in 1955 and 56, right? In those 2 years he went. And in 55, he seemed to be okay. In 56, he touched the administration of the church. And because of that, it created a huge turmoil. You know, after Broly has been there for so many years, after he had raised up so many people, you know, like we all heard, you know, it started with a few hundred, with 20,000 and all those things, you know. There seemed to be a lot. And then this brother came and speaks something that damaged the oneness. Okay? So that was a difficult time for Brother Lee. And then that was also a difficult time for Brother Lee because his first wife died in 1959. But that's a long sickness. You know, she has cancer, you know, first, and then it spread and all those things, you know. So it was quite something. So he was going through all this suffering while he was talking about this, you know. So for him to talk about this, it is not a doctrine. It's not a doctrine. You know? It is something, you know. Because if I were Brother Lee, after serving the church in Taipei for so many years, the churches in Taiwan for so many years, and there is such a rebellion that comes up, you know, I may think, you know, where did I fail? You know, I must have done something. Or else, you know, why would the Lord allow such a thing to happen, you know? But I'm so glad that he did not just go and dwell in his mind. He went and touched the Lord.
Amen.
He's sick for the presence of the Lord. And so the Lord actually come and touch him. You know, during that period of time, if I remember correctly, it is when Brother Lee wrote close to 200 hymns. You know, 200, in the midst of his suffering, he just touched the Lord so much that he can write all those hymns. You know. It was quite something, don't you think? You know, in those hymns, you know, some of those early hymns, he talks about the New Jerusalem. You know, sometimes I thought, you know, Brother Lee one day woke up in the 1980s, 83, 84, you know, and see the vision of the New Jerusalem. Actually, he saw it a lot earlier. That's why he could write all those hymns. Okay? But then he knows that our situation is not there yet. So he stopped himself, you know, from speaking about the New Jerusalem and all this. You know. And even when he started to speak about all this thing about the New Jerusalem, many of us do not understand. You know, I was there sitting, I think you were also in Irving when he was speaking about this, right? In 84. You know, I was wondering how come Bradley's favorite subject is New Jerusalem. Because I think that, you know, this is something in the future. I'm still young, you know, I have still so much life to live on earth. You know, but praise the Lord. When in 1995, he wrote the application of the interpretation of the New Jerusalem for the seeking believers. Then I realized, you know, we need to know what the New Jerusalem is, but we also need to apply it, and we can be the New Jerusalem today.
Amen.
Don't you think it's wonderful?
Amen.
We can be the New Jerusalem today. And Bradley, when he talks about this, he said, the New Jerusalem today is in our spirit.
Amen.
So on one hand, we are waiting for the New Jerusalem. On the other hand, we can be the New Jerusalem today.
Amen.
Okay, so we don't have to wait that long, but we need to, you know, coordinate with him so that we can be built up in such a mingling way to also bring forth the New Jerusalem. To become the New Jerusalem in full. Okay. Now, after going through this message 7 again, I think that the way I want to speak about this is to read some of the excerpts, you know, in this chapter. Because I think Broly could speak a lot better than I do. Okay? So, you have so many Roman number, I think five Roman number in this chapters. The first Roman number is God's goal being to enter into men and mingle himself with men. God's goal being to enter into men and mingle himself with men. So, you know, this is the goal of God. I hope we would remember this. This is the goal of God. And before he spoke about this, he wrote these things, you know, which I want to read to you. He says, some saints wonder why we experience God more through failure than through victory, and why God's leading often involves experiences of failure. According to our concept, God's graciousness should lead us into victory. Consequently, when God allows us to fail, we assume that he is displeased with us. Isn't that true? A lot of us think that he's displeased with us. Our experience, however, reveals that this concept is not accurate. On the contrary, God allows us to fail because he wants to give us grace. In order to understand this matter clearly, we need to know God's goal so we can understand this clearly. Okay, again, I say God's goal is for men. Is not related to avoiding failure or to achieving victory. God's unique goal for his chosen ones is to enter into them and to mingle himself with them.
Amen.
Is to enter into them and mingle himself with men. Oh, this is a wonderful, wonderful goal, don't you think? God wants to mingle with us. Yeah. And B said, man is mentioned first in the Bible in the context of God's intention related to his creation of men. At the time of man's creation, the triune God held a council and decided to create man, saying, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. I think in the recovery, we are very familiar with this verse, right? Okay, but do we know this, you know? Because in this book, Broly said, God created men in his image according to his likeness in order to to give man the capacity to be mingled with Him. You know, He created us in His image and according to His likeness. It's mainly He created a human spirit in us. And with this human spirit in us, we are able to be mingled with God. So I hope we all understand that we are not descendants of apes. You are not a monkey. Okay, we are men with spirit.
Amen.
So that we can be God-men.
Amen.
You know, He created us for a reason. He created us so that He could mingle with us. That's why the creation of man is so different from other things, you know. Okay? Yeah. And then, so if we know this, we should realize Christian life is of two nature. You know, without the receiving of Christ as our life, we just have the human nature. But when we receive the Lord in us, we are born of God. We have the nature of God. You know, we have the nature of God. This man's nature and God's nature. That means humanity and divinity has now been mingled. Okay. All right, let's go to the next portion. It says, God desiring to enter into men to be God in men. And also desiring that men enter into God to be men in God. So He wants God to be in men, and then He also wants men to be in God. You know, this is a wonderful realization, you know. You know, God in men, and men in God. I still remember one time, Brother Lisher, when he realized that Christ is in us, he was beside himself. You know, oh, this Christ is in us. Oh, this is something to be celebrated. Something to be rejoicing. You know, because this very Christ is in us. That is God in men. And then, after some time, then he realized that we are also in God. And then he is beside himself again. Remember all those reading? He was beside himself. Okay, now let me ask you, have you ever been beside yourself? All of you have done that? Yeah, I think we better have some time where we dive into the speaking of the Lord and truly believe the speaking of the Lord so that we can be beside ourselves.
Amen.
Don't you think this is wonderful?
Amen.
You know, our experience of Christ should be similar to our sticking our finger into an electric socket. And then after that, you surely know that there is such thing called electricity. Don't you think so? But sometimes, you know, well, maybe not all of you, but you know, I grew up in the Lord's Recovery. I go to children's meeting and all these things. You know, so I don't have a strong, dynamic salvation. I heard so many people has. So I was wondering, is there really a God? Because I don't have such thing, you know. Maybe none of you are like that, you know. I am a unique exception, you know. But one day, I just have to make known to myself that this God is real.
Amen.
So I call on the name of the Lord. I spoke to Him the whole night. I said, if you don't appear to me like you appear to Abraham, then let me go. I'm going to love the world with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might. I actually spoke that to the Lord, you know, because I feel that it is unfair, you know. Some people are saved dynamically, but we grew up in the church life. We don't have such a touch of the Lord, you know. So I hope we would all strive to such a real touch of the Lord. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to the Lord.
Amen.
Otherwise, you know, you go through your Christian life, you know, in a kamsi kamsa way. You're not so clear exactly what you're doing. But praise the Lord. I'm just so glad that God desire to enter into men.
Amen.
He also desire men to enter into God.
Amen.
This should be our desire. God did not want to be alone in the universe. Don't you think that's wonderful?
Amen.
You know, if I'm God, I think I could be alone. There's all these silly people running around seeming, you know, why should I be? But this desire of not being alone is so strong in God that He is willing to go through all these troubles. Don't you think He has a lot of troubles with human beings? If you don't know, just read the newspaper. You know, you will see how much trouble people are to God, you know. And this is not just today, you know, it has been going on for the last 6,000 years, you know. But His desire is so strong. He doesn't want to be alone. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
God does not want man to be alone too, you know. He doesn't want to be alone, and He doesn't want us to be alone. Okay, He wants men to be mingled with Him.
Amen.
So our concept of what God wants is limited primarily with the matters related to good and ethical behavior. It does not occur to us that God wants to be mingled with Him, wants us to be mingled with Him. Nevertheless, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That is in Isaiah 55:9. Okay. Every kind of food tastes better. You know, He's talking about, you know, we as human beings, without God, we are tasteless. But if we have God in us, something is added into us that makes us special. Don't you think so? I don't know if you ever experienced this, you know, maybe with your classmate, with your colleague. You know, they wonder what's happening to you. How come you're different from them? Do you have such experience? I think there is, because Holy Spirit has been added into our spirit to make us different, you know, from ordinary worldly people. You know. So Brother is talking about, you know, we need to praise the Lord for such mingling of the Holy Spirit with our spirit. This mingled spirit actually makes us so different. You know, I suppose we experience this, you know. You know, you may not notice it, but sometimes people come to you and ask you some very serious questions. You know, why do they ask you such serious questions? It's because they think that you're different. They think that you have the answer. You know, they don't have the answer, but you have the answer. Especially if we are so one with the Lord, people would actually notice that. People would actually notice that. So they would come to you. You know, I have experienced one time. A friend and colleague of my father called me and wanted me to go visit him in the hospital. Okay. So I went to the hospital. And right there in that visit, he was saved and he was baptized in his hospital room. You know, he has a suite. You know, some hospital has a suite, you know. They have their own bathroom with a bathtub. So that's what he has, or he had. So we baptized him there. But after that, you know, I was a little curious, you know. I said, why did you call me? And I live in another city. And you're from this city, I'm live this city, and you want me to visit him in this city. You know, I said, you know, I could just take a bus and go there, you know. I have to fly there. He said, oh, because I noticed you when I was with your father, that there is something different in you. There is something mysterious. There is something fresh. And because of my need, the only person I need to call is actually not your father, but you. So I called you, and I'm so glad, you know, that I flew over there. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we need this mingling of the Holy Spirit with our spirit. When the Holy Spirit, who is God Himself, is mingled with our spirit, we have a fresh and new scent in us. This is what God wants to do in us. You know, the Lord wants us to be a peculiar people, a new creation, different from this old creation. The proper living of a Christian manifests the mingling of two natures. This is the proper living of a Christian. It's the manifestation of the mingling of two natures. That is the mingling of divinity with humanity and humanity with divinity. Okay. Now, yesterday we talked about failure. We talked about this, you know. You know, failure actually enabled God to be mingled with man. Because failure opened us up, you know. If we do not fail, and we have never been failed, you know, that means we are not broken. So it's very hard for the Lord to work Himself into us. You know, this is just human nature, you know. And the Lord knows us, so He allowed. He did not create the failures. He just sort of allowed us to go through failures, you know, so that we can be open to Him. Okay? God allowed us to fall so that He can mingle Himself with us. People who seemingly never fail do not have much experience of mingling. It is as if they have only good humanity, but with no divinity. You know, they never fail, you know. So they don't think that they need God. Okay? So all they manifest is humanity. They do not manifest anything of divinity. You know? God wants to enter into man and mingle Himself with men so that man may manifest God's divinity in his humanity. Any person who thinks that he is sufficient in himself has no need of God. You know, so I don't know, in many times when we preach the gospel, you know, if you preach to a very good man, it's hard for them to receive, right? But if you preach to a very bad man, it's easily for them to receive. Is that true? You know, one time I knock on the door, and the person inside the door is a gangster. Okay? It's not like brotherly talking about Paul being a gangster. He's really a gangster. Okay? But because his boss, you know, those gangsters also have boss, you know, wanted to kill him, you know. So he was ready to commit suicide. You know, so that night, you know, all the lights was off, and he was trying to hang himself in there. Then we knock on the door, and he got baptized. He got saved and got baptized because he knows that he was a sinner, you know, and he needs God. You know, this has something to do with us, you know. If we are a very good person, you know, usually we think you are a very good person, but you may not be. It's just that you think you are. So you don't need God, you know. So if the Lord shine upon us, cause us to see who we are, then we will be more open to Him. You know, so many times in our morning revival, you know, we need to open our entire being to Him and allow the Lord to shine upon us. Every morning, we need the Lord to shine upon us. You know, we need the Lord to really speak to us. You do not just go through a routine, you know, reading two verses, three verses. You know, reading all through this ministry in less than 10 minutes. So you say, okay, I have made fulfill my task. And these are the good Christians. You know, we should use that time to open our entire being to Him.
Amen.
So that He can shine upon us. It is through His shining that He's able to infuse Himself into us so that we can actually be revived. We could actually live again. Okay, live again according to this mingled life. Okay. So if you are a person who thinks that nothing is wrong with you, you're such a perfect person, you know, what are you trying to say? You're really saying that God can remain in heaven and there's no need for God to enter into Him. because he can glorify God and accomplish his will all by himself. You know, some people are like that. Maybe it's you or me. We need to remember that God hates our I. That's why we need to be like Paul. No more I. No more I but Christ. Okay, God hates our I the most. And he will use any means in order to allow our I to be exposed and to fall. There are many means that God can use to expose ourselves. God's attention is not focused on victory or defeat. Listen, God's attention is not focused on victory or defeat, standing or falling. God's only desire is to have an opportunity to enter into us and to be mingled with us. So saints, how about us just open ourselves to him?
Amen.
Okay? So that he can enter into us and mingle in with us.
Amen.
Yes, we need to be fearful. You know, on one hand, we need to live a life of fear and trembling so that we will not fail. Okay? Listen, we need to live such a life. This is the teaching of the Bible. But there is something that is even more important than this. Something more important than being fearful of defeat. We need to be more fearful of God's absence. More than being fearful of failure. In whatever we do, we should be more fearful of God's being absent in our action than we are of merely falling or making a mistake. We need to consider whether God is absent in what we are doing. Okay? Moses knew God in the Old Testament age. Moses was 80 years old when he was called by God, and he suffered many trials and dealings throughout his life. Through the thorn bush and the fire, God shows Moses a type of mingling. You know, thorn bush with the fire is a type of mingling. I don't know if we have seen this before, but this was new to me, you know. Okay. Through the thorn bush and the fire, God shows Moses a type of mingling. And Moses realized that everything was of God and that nothing was of himself. My glory and my power will be manifested through you. That is what Paul was talking about. I will use your person, but I will not use your strength as the fuel of my fire. There was this thorn bush burning. But the burning fuel is not the thorn bush. It's something within the thorn bush. Okay? You know, if you just burn a thorn bush, I think we all know, you know, maybe less than a minute, it's all gone. But that thorn bush can remain because the fire in that thorn bush is not the thorn bush. It is God burning. You know, so our Christian life, we really need a lot of fire. Don't you think? We need a lot of strength. You know, we need a lot of energy to go on. But we should recognize that this energy, you know, this will to go on is not of ourselves, but it is of God himself. So let's allow him to actually be everything in us, to be the fire, to be the energy, you know, in us, so that we can walk this Christian life. Okay? So, what the Lord is trying to show Moses is this matter of God being mingled with men. This is the goal. When Israel rejected God by worshiping an idol at the foot of Mount Sinai, God came to Moses and said, go, get down to your people, to your people. You know, Jehovah is talking to Moses, as I said a while ago, whom you brought up and of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. And then he said, now go and lead the people to the place about which I have spoken to you. Moses, however, responded by saying, consider also that this nation is your people, This response indicates that Moses realized the children of Israel had been rescued through Jehovah's strength, not his strength. Thus they were God's people. You know, so we need a Christian life, a proper Christian life. It's a life of knowing that we cannot live such a life. Only God can live such a life. You know, we talk so much about the God-ordained way. You know, you need to recognize that only a God-man could walk the God-ordained way. You know, when we listen to all this message about the God-ordained way, you know, we may want to practice it by our natural strength. You know, you may be able to be successful for some time, but you will lose steam. Then you will not be able to do it anymore. You know, I've seen this happening in many churches. You know, they try to do it, and then for a few months, I think they are so successful. And when they are so successful, they are so happy. They forget about God. You know, and because of that, you know, it dwindles. You know, today we need to know all everything that we want to do of God must be from God and with God being the strength. Okay. So when the Lord told Moses to do that, you know, then Moses, this is a very important thing, then Moses prayed saying, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight? And I and your people, is it not by your going with us, so that I and your people are distinct from all the other people who are on the face of the earth? I think I have read that verse, right? Okay, then, like Moses, we must live according to the principle of being a person with two natures, that having been mingled together, in everything we do, we need to check to see if God is in it, even in such matter as visiting a friend or speaking a simple word to someone else. We need to ask, is God in it? Is God in it? You know, if we just go home and have this realization, I think we will have a proper Christian life. Just in everything we do, we ask ourselves, is God in it? You know? It is not enough to be fearful. Okay, listen. It's not enough to be fearful of making mistake or of falling. Which means, you know, we need to be fearful of falling. Okay? I just hope you don't think that, you know, failing is okay. To fall is okay. You know, some of us may think that way, you know, since we have such message, you know, that falling, you know, failing give God the way to enter into us. You know, so now let's not be just so careful in not falling. That's one side of it. Okay. But here, Brawley is saying this, you know. It is not enough to be fearful. That means we need to be fearful of making mistakes or of falling. We also need to be afraid of God being absent in our action. This is the experience of a Christian who lives according to his mingled natures. This is also the way that should be manifested in every aspect of our Christian life, including our daily living, daily and hourly. When we do something, whether great or small, we should be able to say, I'm here alone. I'm not here alone. God is here. I'm not being something out from myself, but God is doing in it and with me. God is doing in it and with me. Oh, praise the Lord for God's desire to enter into men, to be God in men. Okay, when we truly learn these lessons, we will be able to avoid, when we truly enter, you know, into this lesson that we just spoke on this whole book, we will be able to avoid many failures. Because in our experiences of being broken, we would learn to know ourselves, deny ourselves, have no confidence in ourselves, and not depend on ourselves. As we are about to do something, we will be focused more on not losing God's presence We want to be focused on not losing God's presence. And on God's working in us, then we will be of failures. You know, we don't want to focus on failures. We want to focus on the presence of God with us. I am fearful of standing and being successful without God. You know, so we should not be so happy with our success. You know? We must make sure that our success is in God and with God. Okay. I want to learn to do only those things that come out of my being mingled with you. I only want to live and to work in a mingled way. God, allow us to fall. When we neglect these lessons and do not learn it, you know, then God is forced to allow us to fail. Our concept is much lower than God's concept. Okay. God desired to enter into men to be God in men. He also wants men to enter into God to be men in God. We need to ask ourselves whether this is our Christian life. In our living, do we allow God to come into us to be God in men? And do we enter into God to be men in God? We should focus on this glorious fact. Lord, I know that your goal is to enter into me, to be God in me, and for me to enter into you, to be man in you. Thank you that your desire is to be practically mingled with me. Oh, thank you that your desire is to practically, not doctrinally, but practically mingle with us. God's being mingled with us, rather than standing, overcoming, failing, or falling. This is all that matters, that we are standing with God. Amen. And God is standing with us.
Amen.
Don't you think this is wonderful?
Amen.
I still have a few moments, right? Okay, no, I've been recently enjoying a hymn that touched me very much. I actually shared this a little bit with the trainees in FTTA, you know. But I also want to share this with you because this is very much related to what we are sharing this weekend. And this is a hymn from Margaret E. Barber, you know, whom I think is a very spiritual person, a proper Christian, walking very much in the way of the Lord. You know. And he wrote something that touched me very much. And I've been considering this hymns so many times, you know. So I would like to read this to you and see how you feel about this, you know. Okay, this is from Margaret E. Barber, and for you who doesn't know, you know, Watchman Nee got a lot of help from her, you know. Got a lot of help from her. She is an English missionary who went to China and buried herself in China and died in China. You know, and because of this, you know, he was able to brought forth such a fruit as Watchman Nee, you know, which become quite a person, not just in the Chinese Christian work, but all over the world today. You know, there are so many people that were so much touched by him. You know, one time I went to Vietnam and I was so touched. Those people turned from Catholicism to the Lord's Vicary because they read Watchman Nee. And when they read Watchman Nee, after the fall of Vietnam, their life becomes different. They were full of anxiety before that because they know when the North Vietnamese came down to the South, they are from the South, you know, their Christian life is over. But when they read the normal Christian life, you know, where Watchman Nee said, God is there not to give us favors, God is there to give us himself.
Amen.
Oh, I was also very touched by that expression. You know, we all go to the Lord, you know, ask him for this, for that, you know, as if the Lord is Santa Claus, you know. But he's not. He wants to give us himself.
Amen.
Because with giving us himself, we will be able to live a life according to the Lord himself. You know, so this is quite something. So let me read this. Let me read it and I'll tell you where it is. This is Margaret E. Barber saying, okay, it's not me, but one day I hope I'll be here. He said, if the path I travel lead me to the cross, if the way thou choosest lead me to pain and loss, let the compensation daily, hourly, be shadowless communion, blessed Lord, with thee. He says, so, you know, the Lord could lead us on the path of the cross. But what she wanted is to have such a fellowship, such a communion, just with the blessed Lord. Okay, that's verse 1. And verse 2. If there is less on earth joy, you know, the less of the earthly joy, give, Lord, more on heaven, more of heaven. Let the Spirit praise thee. Through the heart be riven, though the heart be riven, if sweet earthly ties, Lord, break at thy decree. Let the tie that binds us closer and sweeter be. Okay, so some earthly tie may be broken, but what we should wish and hope is for a closer and sweeter tie with our Lord. You know. Okay, in the last verse. Lonely through the pathway, cheer it with thy smile. Be thou my companion to urge little while. Selfless may I live, Lord, by thy grace to be just a cleansed channel for thy life through me.
Amen.
Don't you think that's a wonderful hymn? So where is this hymn? Nobody knows. Okay, should we sing this? Does the piano know how to play this? 377. Oh. I'm sorry, there's no Spanish. There's Spanish? Okay. But there's Russian, if it's, I'm here, no Russians.